Gracious Heavenly Father, it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we come before you, Father. We praise your holy name. We're so grateful and thankful, Father, for who you are and for what you have done. And I'm so grateful, Father, to be able to share your word this morning with your children. Thank you for blessing each and every one of us, Father. I ask you for your mercies and your grace, your forgiveness, your tender love, Father, surrounding all of your people everywhere. Take care of your children all around the world, especially those that are being persecuted, Father. Especially those, my God, who need your deliverance right at this second. I ask you, Father, to command deliverance, Father, and bring it to them. Thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders, Father, to be seen so that you are glorified and you are praised. And help us, Father, to live lives that are a blessing and an honor to you. I thank you for your love and your deliverance. And I ask you, Father, that you help us with this wonderful ministry of reconciliation. That you give us the opportunity, Father, to touch others' lives with your word, with the truth that's within it, bringing them to you. So that, as our Lord did, reconciling others, Father, back to you, so that you can have children to praise you throughout all eternity. So I love you and I praise you, Father. I ask also, my God, that you deal with all those that are in authority over other men's lives everywhere around the world. Deal with each and every one of them, my God, any way you choose, so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, so that we can move your word. I also ask you to take care of those that are in the armed forces and watch over their lives. Take care of them, Father, and be with them. Thank you for giving them leaders that are worthy of their service and give them wisdom. I ask you to take care of their families at home. I also ask you, Father, to take care of the cops and the firemen and all those that protect us and take care of us and run towards danger, my God, when we are in need. I thank you. Take care of the EMS guys, Father, and bless the doctors and the nurses for their service, for their love, for their dedication. All the rest of them, my God. And I ask you, Father, for your love and blessings around each and every one. Take care of your ministers and raise up an entire new generation, Father, to teach your word and help them all. And we put our lives in your hands. We're so grateful and joyful, Father, to know you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, what I'd like to share with you this morning is on Caleb. He was a man who wholly followed the Lord. You don't see that too often. But this guy is really something, all right? It starts out here in Numbers 13, in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. To every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." So God is not sent, he's sending out to spy out. Remember, they've come through the plagues. They've come out of Egypt. God's brought them out with a mighty hand. The Egyptian army is blowing bubbles at the bottom of the Red Sea. And now they come to this place, and it's time to go in. I mean, it's literally time to go in to the Promised Land. So they send out the recon mission, and they send out the leaders. They don't send out the little guys. They send out the leaders. And Caleb is one of the leaders. In verse 6, it says, "And of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." Now, Caleb is one of the leaders of the 12 tribes. Now, you become a leader either because you have done something put yourself up there in front, you've led, or in Hebrew culture, it's because you are the patriarch of the family, you know, the leader of the clan. Doesn't matter. Caleb is the leader of Judah. And Judah is the tribe in which our Lord came from. And they go out and they search out this land. And to make this a little shorter, they go out into their places and they search out the land and they come back. And in verse 25 it says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them of all, unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. It was amazing, the stuff that they brought back. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb, I mean, he is, put yourself in his shoes. Try to picture it. Try to picture the things in the scriptures and put yourself in the scene. You know, it's like when you watch a good movie, you wish you could be the hero guy. Well, put yourself there. Here he is, and he got this entire mob of people, and they all want to hear what you got to say. And you give an honest report. He gave an accurate report. You know, what was there? It wasn't, they didn't try to make him feel good about it. You got the ites are everywhere. You got the walled. It's very difficult as far as the fortifications go. But Caleb is so convinced and so excited with God, his promises, so much trust in him. We are well able to overcome it. Then the other people get involved. The other 11, also leaders of Israel. And they say, we are not able to overcome. And the congregation gets all upset and literally picks up stones. Now here it is. You trust, you got Moses, Aaron, Caleb, Joshua. He picks up stones and they start to want to kill him. So when you're a believer, everything doesn't go your way, does it? I mean, just think about it like that. How would you be feeling, personally? But if you can put yourself in the record when you read it, if you can hear the mob, the vengeance, the cursing, the vitriol, hatred, and I want to kill you because this is going to be tough. That is surrounding them at the moment. Verse chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hast thou brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and that our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they spake one to another, let us make captains and let us return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company and the children of Israel, saying, The land which thou passest through to search it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord dwell with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, and the land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel you not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread. The word bread is the same word as the word manna. You know, manna was stuff that fell out. They've been eating it, and it evaporated when the sun came up. They're bread for us, and their defense has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Yahweh is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stones. They picked up stone to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now when the glory of the Lord appeared in the... I don't think there was a dry pair of pants in the house. I mean, you know, this is how I picture things, okay? You got all of us, you're picking up stones. You're going to pick up stones against my guys. Ooh, and the glory of the Lord appears. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, and how long will they err? Will it be error they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Then God is not pleased, obviously. And basically, he says, I'll kill them all. And Moses doesn't like that. You know why? Not for them. He doesn't like this because God's going to get blamed. And he asked the Lord to forgive them because all these other people outside, all these other nations will say that he wasn't able to bring them in. Be merciful. But see, the thing that Moses wasn't pleading for these nice people. He was pleading for God's reputation. Moses loved God more than anything. And he asked for this mercy. And God said, okay, I'll forgive them. But they're all going to die. And their children that said that they should be praying, I'll bring them in. Now, can you imagine being Joshua and Caleb and Moses? I got to hang out in the wilderness for 40 years because of these people, and then I got to be with them. Now, do you have to control your mind for a little forgiveness here and not having a bad attitude for the next 40 years of your life? Can you imagine? I don't know. I've been married 46, right? That's a long time. Now, 40 years. Now remember, we're going to talk about Caleb here, but 40 years. Caleb hears these words. Caleb sees what's going on. And can you imagine? I am the Lord, and I'm going to make sure that all these people die here. And I got to wait till the last one of them goes so that I can bring their kids in. What would that do to your soul? What would you be tempted to think, to sin? I don't know about you, but I'd be very tempted. Extremely tempted. Remember, these are real people. These are not individuals walking around with little halos over their head. All right? They're not a cartoon. They're not a theology. They are flesh and blood individuals. Have the same emotions, the same longings, the same disappointments that all of us do. God says, you know, I'm going to take care of those guys that believe me. So let's go to verse 20 of chapter 14. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me to see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, this is God's promise to Caleb. God points out two men are going to go, Joshua and Caleb. But Caleb gets mention. Caleb is given the greatest honor that I think any man can have from God. It says, my servant, Caleb, because he hath another spirit, and he has followed me fully. That doesn't happen very often in the Bible. I don't think I wrote it down, but it only happens maybe 6 or 8 times it's mentioned in the scriptures where an individual follows him fully. Now, you know, we all know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, followed him. Moses was faithful in all his house, a few others, but Caleb is the one that gets this mentioned most. You know, and keep your finger here and go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, God doesn't give the spirit of fear. Fear is an amazing, powerful thing. There are different kinds of fear. There's a fear of self-preservation. That's a healthy fear, okay? Nothing wrong with self-preservation. Don't walk in front of the bus. You know, have a little respect, all right? Don't walk down a dark alley, all right? That's common sense. That's self-preservation. But a fear is also spiritual. Hatred is also spiritual. It can get to a level where it's spiritual. And those men that came back to search out the land, go back to Numbers. Those men that came back, God says about Caleb, he hath another spirit. So that means that they had another kind of spirit too. You see what I mean? He followed the Lord fully. The fear that these people had was enough to cause them to pick up rocks to kill Moses and Joshua and Caleb. That is a measure of unbelief that I think hits the top of the charts. You know, and it's spiritual. When things get to that degree, they are spiritual. You can see this all over the scriptures, all over the Bible. But God honors Caleb. Go back to 24 again, 14:24. God honors Caleb. And I'm just thinking to myself, he is in front of the entire million people, whatever it is, that came out of Egypt. Was it 2 million? How can you count them? That came out of Egypt, and God says, my servant Caleb, who's followed me fully, He's got another spirit. What an honor. And God makes the promise to him right here and now. He says to him, him will I bring into the land wherein he went. The place that he went to look, that's the place I'm going to bring him. Him and his seed to possess it. Go to Deuteronomy for a second here. Chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'm going to be looking here at verse 36. It says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. To him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He has wholly followed Yahweh. And then I got to get a better pair of eyes. I want you to realize, go back in your mind now and think about it. So they came out, they went out to search. They came and they gave an accurate assessment of what was in front of them on the other side in the promised land. They didn't butter it up. They got exactly what it was. People love to be lied to, but these people gave them exactly the proper and exact assessment of the situation. Great men and women of God don't get knocked off the promises. They don't get steered improperly. They go beyond the physical that they see. They look beyond it because they realize how much God can do. You know, they look to the things through the prism of the word that God has spoken. That was what was in his heart. And when you take, I don't care what the circumstances are around us, I don't care what is possible, impossible, what you think, it don't feel good. This rejection, the fact that they wanted to murder them. I mean, can you imagine your adrenaline is starting to pick up here? The hair is starting to stand on the back of your head when you have an entire big mob that wants to pick up stones and stone you. And yet they rent their clothes because they were internally so sorry that these people were not believing God. They weren't running for their lives. I mean, go to back to Numbers. Well, first I'd like to, now let's go to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. So God made him that promise. Now we are talking about 45 years later. Okay, just a little bit short of what we've been married, right? I was a kid, right? We were kids when we got married. I got the picture upstairs, long hair, everything else to prove it. But it was darker then, too. Now, he has spent 45 years 40 years in the wilderness, and the last 5 years have been war. And we're not talking about, video game war. We're talking about hand-to-hand combat. Cities. I mean, it's hard for me to picture myself. I've never done. But I try to put myself in Caleb's shoes. Verse 6 of chapter 14 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him." Now, can you picture this? I try to picture yourself. Joshua is the man who's leading the children of Israel. They're probably coming together. They've been hanging out together, and they've been had each other's back for these past 45 years. He's walking up to Joshua, probably around the campfire. Two old warriors, two men who believe God, two men who have been faithful as beyond anybody else that's in their camp. And he says, "Thou knowest the thing that Yahweh said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me unto Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart." He was 40 years old when he sent him out. It's 40 years they're in the wilderness, that's 80. 5 years of war, 85. It'll say that in a little while. Now, how many people get disappointed? This is one of the thoughts I had. How many people get so tempted and disappointed? God's made them a promise. God has spoken to their heart. He's made them a promise, and yet it didn't happen right away. It hasn't happened yet. It must never going to happen. Maybe it wasn't the Lord that spoke to my heart. Maybe, you know, and they get discouraged because, you know, a couple of months go by. I mean, we live in a society where if you don't see it right this second, you missed it. You told me you were going to do it. Where is it? Give me a cup of coffee. Hey, I'm standing here. Hello. See how ridiculous? I mean, put yourself in this man's shoes. He walks up to Joshua. You and I have been doing this a long time. You know what the Lord said to me. Joshua has kept the promise that God had said to him in his soul every day. Every boring day of hanging around the campfire, eating the manna, and waiting for these people to die. That's kind of how I picture it, you know. And then you have 5 years of war. Now, Jericho being the first big battle. But this is no small thing. And he walks up to Joshua, you know. And this is towards the end of the... See, the thing that's also amazing to me is this is the place that God promised Caleb is one of the last places that they're going to free. Not the first. His most faithful man, the man he promised this thing. The Lord has them do this one last. And he says, "And I went out and I searched out this land, and I brought him word again of what was in my heart." And what was in his heart? This man who had a different spirit. You know what was in his heart? The promise that God was going to give him the promised land. What was in his heart? The fact that the Lord can do this. That was in his heart. He gave him an accurate assessment. It was a bleak one from the senses point of view, but he looked through the prism of the scriptures. He looked through the prism of the promises that God had made and who God was and the power that God had within him. And we are well able to do this. Nevertheless, verse 8, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know, God said, remember when God said, I'll kill all these guys 10 times that they have tempted me. You know what? You can't wholly follow the Lord if you were a part of those 10 times. Caleb never, on all those events, never succumbed to the temptation and the unbelief that God wasn't able to do. That's how I understand it. It's what I see. And Moses swear, verse 9, and Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon my feet have trodden shall be mine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Wow. Now, that's a miracle. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how much you do it, how many pills you take, how much honey you eat, or don't eat, one or the other. See, God promised Caleb, I am this day, as my strength was then, even so my strength is now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakites, or the Anakites, were there, that the city were great and fenced. And if so be that the Lord will be with me. I love this. If so be. There is no arrogance here. You know what? There's no guarantees. There's no, I demand, I have to. You know, I there's no, you know, people say, well, you're not believing if you don't say something, you know, absolute positive confessions. You know, your positive confessions don't move God. You know, he don't work for you, you work for him. John the Baptist was, it says, Jesus said, was the greatest man born of a woman. Right? He lived a fairly short period of time. Had nothing to do with his spirituality or his faith. We serve the Lord. Our lives are in his hands. Short, long, in between. Joshua knows stuff happens. He's been at war and he has seen a lot in the last 45 years. He has seen himself come up to the River Jordan and cross it and search out the land and have the whole promise delayed 40 years because of the people, his brethren, he calls them. I wouldn't be so gracious. And how easy is it to make people take away their faith? Yeah, you give people a shot, you give them the positive and the negative, guess which one they always love to take? They hone in. It's like a magnet. They go for the negative. That's why the TV news is so popular, because they never say nothing good. These cities were great, they're fenced, and they know what, they're still great and they're still fenced, and they've been preparing here for a very long time for this invasion. I'm sure they're much more hardened and ready for this as the children of Israel approach. So if so be that the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh saith, as the Lord saith. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Because he wholly followed the Lord. This is quite a man. This was what was in his heart. The things that God had given them this promise, he had laid it all out for him, but now he's got to wait 45 years, and he didn't doubt. He kept it in his soul. He saw what was in front of him through every dreary day. I mean, do you ever get bored? I'm sure everybody has gotten bored here in these last few months. Okay? You're sitting around watching the walls. And, how much can you do? How much can you clean, Rich? Okay? Richie was saying, what are you doing? He's cleaning. So how much can you clean? You take a toothbrush to every corner in the house? He was 85 years old, and he had this promise right in front. You and I got the promise of the Lord's return right in front of us. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how healthy or unhealthy you are, you got the Lord's promise right in front of you, eternity. Is that burning in your soul like Caleb here? I'm going to follow the Lord wholly. W-H. Wholly. And stay faithful. In Psalm 31, in verse 15, it says, let's go there for a second. It's a great verse. It says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Our lives are in God's hands. Do you believe that? Then, you know what? Then today will be as big a challenge as any other day in your life. And God is with you. That's what he said to us in the manifestations. He's with us. He encourages us. He helps us. But you got to control your own mind. You got to, what did God promise? This is where I'm going. So this is how I'm going to act in light of those promises. This is what I'm going to believe in light of those promises. And you got to steel your mind. You got to steel your heart. You don't be a warrior like Caleb without controlling your mind and focusing on that which is real, the promises of God. That's what's real. You know what's not real? The lies, the people, the circumstances. If God, who created the heavens and the earth, promises something to you and to me, and all the promises that he's put in here, what is there and who is there that's going to stop him from bringing it to pass? No one. No one's going to stop him from loving you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the word Caleb means, Hebrew names have a tremendous meaning. I mean, it's really important. Caleb's name means dog. Shocking, isn't it? Except you got one. Your little dog. He follows you everywhere. Caleb's name means dog. You know, Caleb was like a dog soldier. He followed the Lord wholly. I mean, I know that people, you know, wouldn't like hearing that his name meant dog, but so what? And if you took it into a positive way, he was as loyal as they come. Follow you anywhere. So let's just be faithful. Let us be that faithful and follow the Lord wholly and not worry about the circumstances that we're surrounded with. Because, you know, I don't know if things will get better. I'm not a prophet. I just know that no matter what we ever face in our life, and Mary and I have faced a lot of stuff. All of us in my family, we've been delivered from death, you know, sickness, disease, tough times. And I've watched God take care of business. And what you're not, everybody's going to, you know, this thing does come to an end sooner or later, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just do it with our boots on. Let's do it believing God and trusting him and looking for the return of our Lord and enjoy every moment. We got God with us. He's always there. So that's what I wanted to share with you all today. And I love you all very much. And I'm very grateful for your lives. So, Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you that for examples of this, like Caleb, my God. Thank you for an old soldier, Father, who just followed you fully. Who, no matter what goes on around them, he kept his soul and he kept his heart on your promises, on your word, and he didn't flounder. He just stayed steadfast. Help us to have that kind of courage, that no matter what life deals, that we just play the hand we're dealt, and we know that you're with us. So I love you and I praise you, Father. I thank you for your blessing on everyone here. Thank you for your love surrounding them, for your provision for their homes, Father, for their jobs. Take care of them. Take care of each and every one of your people, Father, that look to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.